was preaching and I was kind of animated, and I'd get out down in the aisle and I'd use my hands, you know, and my wife was sitting on about the second pew over there and she kept trying to get my attention. And I've got a one track mind, and I mean, I'm just hammering down. I'm telling you right now that God, you know, I'm one of those.
Amen.
Glory, you know, Jesus. And she's going,
hallelujah.
Hey. And finally, in the middle of it, I done put my hands in my pocket and I was just going at it. And she goes, psst. And I said, what? She said, fine. I won't tell you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Keith.
We're coming to you from the Clark County Fest here in Quitman, Mississippi. So we're set up here right by the stage. We got some good old gospel music playing.
Amen.
And this is, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
When we arrived at Quitman, they gave me a bodyguard, and his name's Nolan.
Hi, I'm Nolan.
And he approves this message.
Yeah. Hold on. He got something else to say.
They also call me Big Daddy. Because I'm Big Daddy's bees. I do honey and beekeeping. I play the piano. I'm a preacher. I'm all that.
Amen.
Hey,
and,
hey.
He's kin to Nanny Goat.
And kin to Nanny Goat.
That's right. Well, this is the first round of our storytelling. We don't even know what's in store for us today, but we found two people that would be willing to listen, come tell some stories. So, Mr. Joe, tell a little bit about yourself. So they'll know and then tell you two stories.
Well, Joe Gullick, I pastor here at East Pleasant Grove Church in Quitman, Mississippi, and I've been in the ministry, been pastoring for 31 years, and we were talking about stories, and I thought, you know, I've got a lot of jokes and a lot of stories, but most of them's on me. You know, when I preached, you know how you go back and, we used to record everything on the VCR tapes. Then we went to DVD. Now we're live Facebook and stuff. And you go back and you watch and you think, what was I thinking, you know? But one of the things that took place, and I was probably been pastoring 4 or 5 years, and I used to wear black suits all the time, white shirts. And, you know, I always had the white whitey tighties on, you know what I'm saying? That was before the American Eagle and, you know, all the stuff. And
you're dating yourself a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was preaching and I was kind of animated, and I'd get out down in the aisle and I'd use my hands, you know, and I'll never forget, my wife was sitting on about the second pew over there and she kept trying to get my attention. And I've got a one track mind, and I mean, I'm just hammering down. I'm telling you right now that God, you know, I'm one of those.
Amen.
Glory, you know, and she's going, psst,
hallelujah.
Psst. Hey, she's trying to get my tip, and I'm trying to ignore because I didn't want to lose that train of thought. And finally, in the middle of it, I done put my hands in my pocket and I was just going at it. And she goes, psst. And I said, what? I mean, I'm lost in the middle of this. She has my undivided attention. What? She said, fine. I won't tell you. Your britches are unzipped.
Oh, son.
And literally, you look back at the tape, you could see it. It was going, hello. It was terrible, brother.
Curtains open, curtains closed. Exactly. And when you put your hands in your pocket, that makes it worse.
That makes it worse.
Yeah.
You lose all your room, all your expanded material.
And I'm talking about this is black suit, whitey tidy days, you know? And at that point, when she said that, fine, I won't tell you your britches are undone.
Everybody.
The place erupted.
Yeah.
And that's when the preacher goes, okay, let us pray.
Yeah.
We're done. We're toast.
Every head bowed, every eye closed.
It's over with then, brother. I'm just telling you then. You just shut your book and say, well, Lord, we need your help.
Like an overstuffed Oreo cookie down there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. For real, brother. You know, and that's just one, and I've got many, but I'll tell you this one real quickly. You know, I was trying to be personal and tell the story about, you know, my life and how God called me. And I was preaching that, you know, if God can speak through Balaam's donkey. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I mentioned that I was a little animated. And so I was, I'm telling you right now, if God can speak through a donkey, surely to God he can speak through me. And the place erupted. Because, you know, I come up old school. I come up, Oscar, where you read out of the King James Version.
Yeah.
And it talked about Balaam's.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to be politically correct and King James correct at the same time. And I got it all mixed up. And so, you know, jokes on me. These are just a few of the things of 31 years. And
you're going to collect them.
I try not to be quite as animated now.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway, that's all that, you know, about me. I could tell you story after story, but God's been good to me. I'm just glad to be here today.
Amen. Amen. It's been wonderful to meet you. I'm glad you sat down. We're going to, Mr. Keith said he's got some. Tell a little bit about, give him a little background. You work where?
I worked at the paper mill over in Choctaw County, which is a neighboring county in Alabama. And, man, if somebody would get down and write a book about that place, of course, most of the stories can't be told in polite company, but I remember one as an old boy as a millwright. So he brought in his lawnmower blade, and he was going to sharpen it up, get it all, you know, on the grinder there in the shop. And somebody else had to be paying attention to him, and he's grinding that blade, and he turns it over and starts grinding the backside of it. And somebody said, why you shot me the backside of that blade? He looked at him just a straight and said, you don't never know when you might want to pull this lawnmower backwards. Same old boy, he was out there with a drill, and he was going to mount a fire extinguisher to a column out there on the floor. And, boy, he's got a drill. He's working. And I was letting out a little creative adjective every now and then. And anyway,
like they do at the mill.
Oh yeah, that's pretty much mill right there. That's why you can't tell a lot of the stories. But but anyway, a couple of operators over there watching him, and one of them looked the other and said, "You don't think that he might have that drill in reverse, do you?" And so they walked over there when he went to get another drill bit. They walked over there and picked it up. Sure enough, that drill was in reverse. Well, he come back and put the new bit in it, and one of them walked over and asked him, said, hey, man, he said, if you want me to, I'll see if I can drill that hole for you. But sure enough, well, they picked that drill up, got on his mark, shoot, right through the column they went with, you know, just fell through there. Anyway, put the thing back in reverse as they set it down. And so the old boy, he got on his next mark, and boy, here he went, wore that drill out. Now, he done that poor old man that way for about 30, 40 minutes, you know, before they finally let him in on what was going on.
He don't
on,
care. But, ain't they money? Is it? He was just going to watch him work.
I guess if you go sharpen the backside of a lawnmower blade, I guess you don't know that you need to put the drill forward, too.
So they just sit there and watch himself.
They just sit there and watch
that. That's what we do.
But that's typical meal.
That's friends.
That's what friends do. That reminded me, Mr. Keith, we was working on a dozer the day. We had to build a little pad over there close to where we're at. And Daryl Sherrill, he's been on the show before, kind enough, and we were running that dozer. Well, it got to sputter and it finally went out. Well, we thought it was a fuel filter, you know. He said, I ain't changed that fuel filter in a while. He said, I need to change it. I said, that's fine. Well, he ran the Thompson Cat, and he got the fuel filter, but you couldn't get just the filter. You had to buy the whole housing thing all together. That's how Caterpillar does you. You know, $600 or $700 later, you're gonna get you a new running dozer. Yeah. So he got back up there, and we got to taking it apart, and the fuel line comes in, and they didn't know if the fuel tank was stopped up, so they filled it slam full of fuel before they left. And so when he unloosened that top line, well, right off the bat, it went to pouring fuel. He said, hey, Shane, hey, come here, man. He said, stick your finger in that line real quick. I said, all right. So I feel like the little Dutch boy, you know, with my finger in the dam, you know. So I'm just standing there, and he's just talking away, and I'm standing there with my finger stuck in the fuel line.
Right.
And, I mean, it's 10 minutes because he's working on that fuel filter, and he's getting in that. And I said, Daryl, and he's just working away. And he said, what, buddy? I said, why don't I just turn this valve off? He said, that'd be good. I said, "You mean to tell me?" And he just went to cackling. I mean, dying laughing.
Let you suffer as long as you want to.
As long as I wanted to. Just sitting there like a little Dutch boy with my finger.
That's like sending the guy, say, "Hey, man, run out the trailer and grab that board stretcher." And it's on the right side of the trailer out. That, look, we just got through building a building at the church. We did that twice to do two different people. And they literally went out and looked. You know, they fucking, well, I can't find it. I said, "Okay, that's fine. We'll get it later.
We'll get it later.
Well, you send them back for the Skyhook after you get the
Right. Yep. Skyhook. Go get the Skyhook.
Yeah, Lucy Skyhook.
That's right.
Sure did. Let me sit there with my finger in the hole.
Now, before we go too far, you told us a story. Y'all were kind enough to take us out to dinner last night. We had a fine
man,
dinner.
What a dinner.
And we
that
appreciate
was.
That.
You went
well,
to
no, good grief, son.
You
I mean,
know why?
He'd had to go back to the mill again and hit an overtime.
He had another job.
You told us a story about driving home late one night from work in an ice storm. Yeah. You tell that story.
Yeah, we were out there at the mill and an ice storm come through and a little rain. It was cold. We don't get that down here either. East Central Mississippi and West Central Alabama don't get a lot of wintry weather. But when we do, it can be a little
disgusting.
We're not used to it. So I'm on the way home, and I'm coming across backcountry. These fellas get a kind of test of some of the woods I drove them through last night to get them to that fish camp. But anyway, I was driving along, and I figured, well, I better call my wife, just let her know everything's going all right, you know. So, you know, I'm doing the safe thing, and I've got the phone up to my ear while I'm driving down the road.
And I'm telling her,
I said, well, I'm on my way home. I said, but, you know, it's a little wet out here, but I hadn't run up on any ice yet. Everything seems to be great. I hadn't got that out of my mouth, and I went around a little dog leg curve in the rear end coming around. Slid me backwards through the ditch, out across power line right away. Luckily, it was there. And the whole time, I'm giving her a play-by-play. Still got the phone, because I know if I throw that phone down, she's going to go into full-blown panic. Anyway, I told her, I said, well, it looks like I'm going to hit these trees behind me back here. There's going to be a little wreck
like
here.
Up ahead, there's some trees.
About that time, the front end come on around like that rear end did earlier. And I said, you know, I might be able to get out of this. I got back into gas out there in that old dirt and mud. Back through
put it to the floor, buddy.
Back through the ditch I came. Of course, when I went out on that pavement, I'm in ice again. So it got a little squirrely, but I finally got it leveled out. Come on. But you know, somebody said, why didn't you throw that phone down? I said, oh, no. She'd have called 911 if I threw that phone down.
Well,
was this
Rhonda
my
had
white
to know.
Truck that I got out of the deal?
No, it was a little
Chevy
car, actually.
Okay, all right. I was just wondering. No wonder that thing, that, you know.
You had a little
Miss Rhonda said she wasn't paying no attention to the play-by-play. She was just sitting there just praying.
Lord,
I tell you what, the Lord took care of that situation because I wasn't good enough to did all that with one hand. But
you mean you ain't been watching Red Farmer over on the dirt track? You don't think you could around that way.
Not even Malice's boys would have taught me
how
to do that.
Yeah, buddy. That's what they call digging like Dale.
Well, you got any more, Preacher Man?
I told someone that 50 years of living is kind of my highlight. Got an opportunity. Last night was homecoming for Quitman, and we paid to have some pilots do a flyover. You know, when they get to that point in the national anthem, here comes airplanes. You know, it's a pretty cool deal. And they were telling me that they were going to get these guys who had fighter jets from the Korean War, 1946 to 1953. And I said, man, that would just be amazing. I said, well, hey, do you want to ride? I said, do I want to ride?
Do I?
And so last night I got the privilege to be in the lead jet, our lead plane, and do the flyover. And it was an experience that you can't even explain. It was absolutely amazing. And so I'm thankful to have had that experience.
Can we know about that one little part you told us about?
Which part?
He lets you do a little something.
Oh, yeah. When he did give me the wheel or whatever that thing's called. He said, okay, big guy. Well, we done the flyover. You
he
know,
might
we
have
done...
gave Jesus the wheel. Yeah.
Look, he done blew the smoke. We done left equipment. We're headed back to the Navy base and are up that way. And he said, all right, big guy, it's your turn. I said, my turn for what? And he said, well, you can take over. And he took his hands off. And I reached and grabbed it, and my anxiety went through the roof, you know?
Your blood pressure immediately
skyrocketed. My blood
out.
Pressure, yeah. Because every time you moved, you felt it in that plane,
man.
You know? every move. And I tensed up, and what I didn't realize when I was tensed up, that I was pulling it toward me. And the nose
gaining
of the plane
elevation,
was
baby.
He, and he finally said, "Hey, man, you got to push forward." And so we had
hey, buddy. Hey, we're getting out of our airspace.
He said,
here.
"Look, don't panic." He said, "Loosen up. You're okay. You got this." And so for a total of 3 minutes, I was flying the plane, but I didn't enjoy nothing about the trip during those 3 minutes. And so he took back over, and we had a safe landing, and it was great. I mean, it was really a cool experience.
That is cool.
He wouldn't have been like old Sully. He couldn't have made a water landing out there in that reservoir, because
that
thing showed there ain't enough water out there to make
a right. It was a little harder landing.
Let me tell you a funny story about the reservoir, okay? So we got Josh with us. It was our IT guy, kind of helps us with our technology stuff, hooking up. And so we invited him to come down after we had booked with Miss Rhonda where we're staying at the cabin. And I told Josh, he said, "Where are y'all staying close by?" I said, "Man, I'm pretty sure it's a state park down there. Can't be too many." Well, that's a lie. Mississippi's covered with state parks. But I didn't know that, you know. So I just looked on the map, Quitman, Mississippi State Park. There's Archusa right there. I said, "This is it."
That's it.
I sent him a pin.
Yeah.
Well, he books an Airbnb that's just close to Archusa. So he gets here last night, and I told him, I said, "It's state park. It's, you know, it's a lake on the map. Man, it looks really nice." So he brought us fishing poles, all kind of
jungle.
Stuff.
Jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Oh, no,
he got
a different podcast, right?
Yeah, he got here about, I guess it was about 4:30. He sent me a picture. And he said, "The fishing ain't going to be as nice as I thought it would be." I said, I looked at the picture, and there's a boat ramp goes right down into coffee weed patch.
Yeah.
And
weeds this tall.
Yeah. I mean, head high.
Head
you know?
High. Oh, yeah. Every bit of head high.
And so one of the signs up there says, "No wake for 50 foot." Josh said, "They ain't no problem with me creating no wake."
Nobody got a ticket for that in years.
So we found out last night at supper why that was the case.
Yeah.
And the dam broke on the Archusa State Park Lake and drained her slam dry.
Yeah. I'm talking about bone
and
dry.
And the second time it's happened, it's a bad thing.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to get some water back in it.
Hey, they're working on it.
It might take a couple of years, but other than the creek running through it, we don't have any water in it right now.
Yep. Well, that was funny. That was I laughed when he sent that. But he said, "The fishing ain't near as good as what I thought it might be."
Right.
Well, fellas, this was a fine first round. Lord only knows what we're going to do next. But I appreciate your stories.
Hey, thank you for letting us come be a part of it.
Yep, we enjoyed it.
All right, guys.
Stick around.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Chad has joined us. This is, I don't know how it's going to be in the editing, but I think it's going to be number two.
All right.
Of how it goes. Chad's a local legend. I'm going to let you introduce. Tell everybody what you do here in Quitman.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say a legend, but I do a pretty good bit around here, and I'm not bragging by no means, but I run a local Facebook page called Clark County Hot Topics, and that page was started back in 2008 or 2009, whenever my grandpa actually loved listening to the police scanner.
Oh,
and so, you know, he wanted to know where if a siren went by, he wanted to know where it was going, a police or fire or an ambulance. So around that time, they changed up the frequency to the radio, so you couldn't hear it no more. So I had access to all the equipment, so I started the page, and since then I've kind of blown up. I think I told you earlier, you know, we're over half a million, or right at almost a million at times, depending on the story, each week. So we're doing pretty good.
That is fantastic. But you were kind enough to let us say a few words on your show. And we said, we're only going to do it if you'll come tell a story with us.
That's right.
Because we're storytellers.
Right.
So we're going to sit back, let you have the mic. You tell us a story.
The story that I want to tell you that sticks out in my mind the most is, you know how whenever you're a small child, you always want to get all the expensive toys and all the shiny, sparkly stuff. And one year I went out in the county, I went to visit a family that I was trying to help. And there was a little kid, I can't remember his age. He was a smaller guy. And I get emotional talking about this. But that little kid, instead of him wanting all the shiny toys and everything, all he wanted for Christmas was a football. He wanted a football for Christmas. And so kind of emotional, but we helped him out. Let's just say that. We helped him out a whole lot. So the Lord laid it on my heart to help him. And ever since that moment, when I saw the happiness and the joy in that kid's eyes.
Well, tell us about giving it to him.
When we delivered it, had a whole bunch of stuff, man. We had more than one football, I can assure you that. But we went out there, and the mother and dad, the parents, the guardians, or whoever they were ecstatic, man. They started crying, and that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, man.
And he was just as happy as he could be. Started tearing into those gifts, it was like, you couldn't do anything else any better at that moment because he was so happy.
That's special, man.
So, like I said, it's kind of one of those things, man, where that moment has led into more things. So I try to help people, cancer patients and other things that go on in the county where I can personally help through my platform. I always try to do anything I can, everything I can to help.
Well, man, that's good. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir.
And we're gonna still just keep on enjoying what we're doing here.
All right. Good luck to y'all. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, friend. Appreciate you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Rhonda.
I'm Pam.
Let's use your mic, Miss Rhonda.
I'm Rhonda. Do it again.
No, we ain't,
doing that again. It's perfect. All right, so we're still here in Quitman, Mississippi for Clark County Fall Festival. We got some more guests here. Tell us just a little bit about yourself before we hear these two good stories. One story that is supposed to be a real good one, right up my alley.
So I'm Rhonda's daughter is what I'm known as around here. So I'm Pam.
Keep going.
I mean, is there to know? I'm Rhonda's daughter. I mean, that's all Clark County knows about me.
But you grew up here in Quitman.
I grew up here, yes. I was born in South Carolina, but raised here.
You ran these roads, yes. Didn't you?
Let me tell you, this is my child. She will graduate in December with an RN and BSN.
Mm-hmm.
She's planning on going back and becoming a nurse practitioner in the pediatric field.
Taking care of them babies.
Yeah, she's always done it. She started from the time she graduated nursing school till today, she's done it.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. Hey, for some reason, I don't talk to you again for December. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a story now.
Take us on out there.
So the ghost story that y'all want to hear is... Mm-hmm. Dad is 6'1". At the time, my brother was 6'1", but he's now 6'4". But... in Mom and Daddy's house, so I was probably 12 years old. My grandfather's passed away when I was 6 and 7 years old. And so I didn't have any grandfathers growing up. And anyway, one night, I was laying in bed, and somebody had left the kitchen light on. And so it kind of glowed into the hallway, and my bedroom door was open. And I kind of rolled over in the middle of the night and saw a figure in the doorway. And I said, "Dad?" And Dad didn't answer. And so I said, "Chris?" And Chris didn't answer. And I was just like, okay, there's an intruder in the house. You know, there's something going on. Do I get up and run? Do I pretend I'm asleep? What do I do? You know? And okay.
So what did you choose?
Well, I chose to hide out, basically.
Play dead. I'm gonna turn into a possum right here.
Anyway, it was Dad's dad. And he just looked at me and he said, "It's just me, Grandpa. I'm just watching you. Go back to sleep." Yeah, like you can go back to sleep after that.
Like, how long had he been gone?
I was probably 12 at the time, so he'd been gone 6 years at that time. So, yeah.
I got chill bumps all over. So to you,
it was real. Like it was a figure standing there, looked like Dad or my brother.
When Pam and Chris were little, her grandfather babysitted him. And so he always kept an eye on him. He always watched him. He was always there for him. At night, he would play with them. They would play the piano, and he'd dance around in the living room with them, and they just had a good time together. So it's only fitting that he was watching them.
You ain't had no knock wheel before you went to bed.
No, none of that.
You believe in Black Panthers?
Now we're getting somewhere.
We talked extensively last night at supper, okay? You know, either you do believe in ghosts or you don't believe in ghosts. Right. And I am of the, I just don't believe them because I've never seen one, right? Right. Well, that's when Mr. Keith, your daddy, got on me a little bit. He's like, now, wait a minute. He said, have you ever read over in Luke? And I said, look, I don't want a Bible lesson now.
Trying to eat something.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I ain't ever seen one, so they ain't real, right? Right. So, but that's when this story come up, and Philip's right. like, oh, I've got to hear about this.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the only time I've ever seen
it.
Him, so, I mean, but.
I love
it. I mean, he was the same height as both of them, so.
Have you ever just been sitting there by yourself and feel like somebody's watching you?
Or the Lord, yes, the Lord, Miss Rhonda.
That's just... Well, how do you know he wasn't one of God's angels?
Well, I ain't saying he wasn't. I'm just saying that you asked me, have I, and that's who I say is watching me. The Lord is just keeping his eyes on me.
And I will say that's the one and only time I've ever seen him. So,
well, he just come by from there. Well, how about that?
I mean, I hadn't been woken up with him tickling my feet or nothing.
Well, you know? I mean, then we get a little, okay, now that's too much.
Then one we're time see if you're going into
I appreciate
side
you
nursing.
Coming by, and I love you. But don't be tickling my feet. I'm trying to sleep.
Well, that's a good one. Now, tell us this one that Miss Rhonda just shook her head about when you talked about telling it.
So, Miss Rhonda didn't know the true story until I was 21.
And it happened so, when you were
I was five when it happened.
You were five.
I was
16 years of
secrecy.
Yes.
Told...
So. That's the longest she's ever kept her mouth shut.
Now, I will say, on Daddy's side of the family, I was the only girl of all the cousins. So I had two older cousins, a brother, a big brother, and then two younger cousins. They were all boys. I was the only girl. So I was the one that everybody just oohed and aahed over. I mean, I was
You was princess.
Right.
We had Choctaw princess here earlier. You was Clark County princess.
She's Quitman. Nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she come over equipment.
So, but anyway, so it's in the 80s. I mean, we got Saturday morning cartoons. You had three channels. That was it, you know. So it was boy cartoon, girl cartoon, boy cartoon, girl cartoon, you know. Well, my brother had just, he was, I was going to say, I'm five, so he's seven. Yeah. So we had just got through watching He-Man. Care Bears is coming on next. He flipped the channel.
He has flipped the script on you.
Yes. Because he was going to go watch Batman or Superman or whatever, but Care Bears was coming on.
The countdown was finna happen.
Yes.
Countdown. Right, exactly. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So I said, turn it back.
Turn it back. Simple request.
Now, I will tell you this. On Saturday mornings, that was Mom and Daddy's sleep-in time. You didn't bother Mom and Daddy. Mm-hmm. It is cartoon time. Go in there, turn your cartoons on. Mm-hmm. And when we get up, we get up. But until then, you don't bother us. Mm-hmm. Leave us alone.
You're resting.
Right. So I said, turn it back, son. And he said, no. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to regret this, but turn it back.
I'm going to give you one more chance
to turn it back. And he refused to turn it back. And when he did, in this house that we were living in, there was, what kind of heater was that?
Radiant heater. I'm sorry.
Oh, that microphone.
Radiant heater.
Yes.
It was the one with the little individual.
The bricks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was in the hallway, and then the bedrooms were like 1, 2, and 3 in the hallway, you know. And so anyway, I went to that heater, and I reared back, and I kicked that heater as hard as I could kick it. And then I laid down on the floor screaming at the top of my lungs. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that gets Mom and Daddy's attention and, of course, my brother's attention. So, by the time they come out of their bedroom, Chris is standing over me going, what happened?
And, of course, you know what happened, big boy.
They're asking what happened. Mm-hmm. And all I said was, he pushed me into the heater.
Oh, man.
So, they jerked him up and did what they needed to do.
You got to say stuff like that in the microphone.
And when he come back into the living room, I was watching Care Bears.
Care Bears is on now.
He got a whipping because...
Oh, I know you tore him up for that.
His daddy did.
Now, the whole time, was he screaming,
no,
she's...
he took it.
He took it.
He took it for her.
He didn't defend his son?
No. Mm.
No. Because he knew there'd be more consequences if he did.
You got an evil looking eye right now.
I wasn't saved then.
That was before she was living right. Hey, man, Jesus. We got those. We got those.
I have no Jesus then.
That right there. You know, this reminds me. Now, my Philip knows my brother well. So one day, this is all resonated. It's, I feel this in my soul as
you've been there.
I have been here. My daddy had a paddle, and it was painted like a sugar daddy candy bar. You ever seen one of them on a stick? The caramel. You know, that it's kind of hard caramel.
Pulling your cavities out.
You bite on it. This one would pull some cavities out for sure on your backside, because that's what it was. It was painted just like a sugar daddy paddle. Well, my brother and I were down in the basement. We was having a big time. We was playing. And all's well while everybody's on the same page. But when little brother decides he's not being treated fairly, I want to get my way, right? Well, big brother being big brother, no, hey, we're going to big boy you. You ain't going to get your way. Well, he took it upon himself to formulate a manipulative plan just like you have, young lady. Mm-hmm. And we began to push and fight a little bit. Well, I shove him pretty good. Well, he falls down. And then he starts squalling. And I thought, oh, no, it's over with. He gets up and he goes and he stomps on the stairs going downstairs and then a platform at the bottom, and the stairs went right and left. You could go to the either side of the steps because of the way the steps went, kind of went into the wall. Well, he stomps on that platform and you could hear it echo, you know. Mm. Well, then he just lays down and kind of like this little crumpled up and just goes to wailing. And I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? Seriously, what's going on? Well, here comes Daddy. I hear him get up. I hear he's in his recliner. I hear the ka-dunk. He puts the recliner down, and he's coming around. And he opens the stairwell, and of course, who does he see? My poor little old baby brother just folded up on the floor, paralyzed. And he's hollering, I can't move. I can't move. I said, you move from there to there. I watched you 10 foot. What do you mean you can't? There was no explaining. Walton Shane Thomas, get up here. The day the sugar daddy paddle was broke was that day on my tail end. I toted that one right there. And as I'm going upstairs, I turn and look at him. He looks like you look right now. Just so that little possum eating, that possum grin, just ear to ear. And stop squalling. He gets up as I'm being drug up the stairs, miraculously healed. That was the day the sugar daddy paddle was broke on my tail end.
That paddle cured two things.
Cured lots of stuff, friend. I no longer trust my brother.
I don't trust him either.
But you know what? Today, her and Chris are...
We're best friends.
They're best friends. They have each other's
back. Of course
back.
You are. He knows if he makes you mad, what's going to happen? There's blackmail in that coming down the line.
I never thought of that. And Miss Rhonda, see?
Now, all you needed was an older brother to get a little bit of counsel. That's all you needed.
Now, who spilled the beans at 21? You told her about it.
I think the guilt got me.
Jesus got you. That's exactly right. Got to know the Lord.
She was 21 years old, and we were talking about things that they did when they were younger. And I kept telling whoever we were talking to that my kids didn't really do anything that bad. And Pam said, Mom.
Mom, let me tell you.
And then she started spilling her guts.
This is my confession.
Yeah, that's what happened. You know what she got to thinking about? She, one day I might have kids, and one day I better get this off my chest. Let me go ahead and get this out of here.
All right, I'm 21. Mama's not going to whip me now.
Right.
Yeah, that
we can laugh about it now.
Yeah,
that was the key. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. Well, Miss Rhonda's sitting here. She's awful quiet, but you know, we talked about a little bit about how have we told how we met Miss Rhonda?
No, but I think we need to before she tells her story because it'll all bring
kind
it together.
Tie in. Mm-hmm.
It'll all bring it together. I can't remember now. It's irrelevant. But you reached out to me. I think you either sent me an email or you sent me a Facebook message.
I did. I sent you a message on the
podcast page.
The podcast page, yes.
And then you told me you told me that you had a story that needed to be told, I believe, if I remember it correctly. Now, this has been several months back.
Yes.
And I told Shane that day, you may not know this information. We get messages, you know, from time to time. And sometimes I look at them, I'm like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, that one don't fit.
But when I read your message, I told Shane about it. I said, I'm going to call Miss Rhonda back today. I said, I really think this is probably legit and something good. Yeah. And that was, I was coming home from Birmingham one day when I called you and you shared
The story
with me, and you told me at that. So, unfortunately, I've heard this story. Mm-hmm. I look forward to hearing it again. But you said, you can tell that story. And I said, no, ma'am.
I ain't going to tell
I'm not telling that story. I said, there's only one person that can tell that story, and that's you. And that's when, so that led us here to Quitmuck. You said, you know, well, would y'all be willing to come over? And one thing led another, and then here we are. Yeah. So here we are. So that sets the story up. That's where we are. And then, you know, last night we went and had dinner, and they've been nothing but super kind to us. This has been a wonderful day and a half.
Well, you're new members of the family.
Well, that's strong.
So
just don't get me in trouble. Okay? Don't be telling those stories.
Is Pam part of the family?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Okay. Well, I know who not to mess with.
More guys to mess with.
So without further ado, this is something I've been looking forward to for the Hayden podcast community to hear for a long time. So we're going to step out of the way.
Tell your story.
When I was 5 years old, and that's the earliest my memories are, I can remember standing on a piano bench and singing. My grandfather was a Baptist minister. He did a lot of revivals. He had 10 children, but three of the daughters traveled and sang, and my mom was one of those daughters. So I've always loved music. Music has always been a big part of my life. My Aunt Juanita played the piano, and she would stand me on the piano bench next to her, and she would say, now, you got to sing loud enough to where the people in the back can hear you. I had a microphone in my hand. So she wanted me to sing loud, and so that's what I did. My first song that I ever sang was Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. And that was my song. When we went to different churches, that's the song I sang. So growing up, I always loved music. And when I became a teenager, I wanted to be the next Loretta Lynn. So
that's an aspiring goal.
Well, and God's blessed me. I don't brag about me because it's not me. What I have, God gave me. And I don't like for people to pat me on the back and say, oh, Rhonda, that was awesome, you know, or anything like that, because I want you to thank God for it, because he's the one that gave me the voice I have. And but when I was about 14 years old, Mom and Dad had gone to work, and I had laid out of school. And say your mother.
I am my mother's child.
Now we know, right?
So... But I was at home. My brothers had gone to school, and Mama told me before she left, she said, well, if you feel better, straighten the house up a little bit. So I get up, and I go in their bedroom to Mom and Dad's bedroom to make their bed for them, and there's a box, big, strong box sitting there that the kids were always told to stay out of. You don't bother the box. You don't look in the box. You don't have anything to do with the box. Well, I noticed the key was in the top of it. They kept it locked all the time. There was no key to be found, but the key was in the top of it. So what do I do? They meant for me to look in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
somebody
they
did.
Left me the key. Mm-hmm. So I pulled the box down. I sit on the bed, and I start going through papers that I probably didn't have any business going through. But I found my birth certificate. I found my two brothers' birth certificates. And mine said I was born in New York. My two brothers were born in South Carolina. So I'm going, let me just look further into this. Well, down at the very bottom of my birth certificates, it says... information has been altered because of adoption process. And I'm old enough to know what adoption is. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and I just, you know, my whole world comes apart.
Everything unravels.
Because the person that I thought I was, I'm not that person. The people I thought were my parents may or may not be my parents. So I knew I was going to get in trouble if I mentioned it to Mama. So I let it lay for a few days, and Dad was gone from the house, and it was just me and Mama in the house one day, and I sat down with her, and I said, Mama, there's something bothering me. And I said, I need an answer. And I asked her about it. I told her what I did. I fessed up, and I told her, you know, that I had found my birth certificate, and mine was different from my brother's, and she kind of looked at me like she was hurt. You know, because I had done something I shouldn't have done. And so she, I don't even remember now what she told me, but it was just, you know, it didn't matter. So a few years went by. I left it laying, left it alone. Keith and I got married on my 18th birthday, and we started our life together and our children. And I went back when my stepdad died. I went back and I sat down on the couch with Mama, and I said, okay, Mama, Daddy's gone. You need to talk to me. You need to tell me who my father is. And because there was no doubt in my mind that she was my mother. Mm-hmm. I'm 26 by now, and Mama still won't talk to me. She won't tell me anything, nothing. So I finally, a little bit later on, I finally got her to tell me his name. That's all she would tell me. She did let me know that he was. She met him in South Carolina, and that's all she told me. So when my mother passed away in 2015, and I don't know why I didn't think of this before, because I used to leave when we lived in Mississippi and would visit up there. I would leave just in a tizzy, and I'd be mad at the world. You know, because Mama wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't tell me the truth. When she passed away and the funeral and everything was over, I was sitting there one day and I looked at my husband, Keith, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to order one of those Ancestry.com kits and do it and see what I find. So I did. And my sister and I lovingly call it, we spit in a cup. Sent it back to them. And a month later, I had a email from Ancestry.com. Well, when you open up your package that they give you, the first thing you see are your closest relatives, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts and uncles, and everybody that's just that personal family, you know, the closest family to you. First name on the list happened to be my mama's brother, and I knew who he was. The second name on the list was a name I had never seen before. Her name was Debbie, and I didn't have a clue. And it had stepsister on it, half-sister. You get to that point to where you've got your answer just right there, and it kind of makes you nervous. You know, what am I getting into? Why did Mama not want me to know this? And I'm fixing to open up the Holy Grail and find out what it's all about. So I left it alone for a couple of days, and then I got out my phone, and I sent Debbie a text message, and I said, Debbie, I'm Rhonda Kelly. I said, I'm a nurse in Quitman, Mississippi, and I said, I promise I don't want anything but information. I said, according to Ancestry.com, you and I are half sisters. So that tells me that my dad and your dad are the same person. And I said, I just want to know who he is. I said, my mom's never told me, you know, I've never known. All this time, I've been angry with my mother. I've had an anger inside of me that I just couldn't get rid of. So Debbie sent me her phone number. And when I went home from work that night, I called her. We talked for 3.5 hours that first night. The next week, Keith and I got in his pickup truck, and we went on vacation. And we went up into Amish country, and our trip wound up with us going to see Debbie and her family. They met us in Front Royal, Virginia, and we had supper together and talked. And but Keith and I were sitting on a bench in front of the restaurant, and this van pulls up, and a gentleman steps out of it, and he's got a little boy with him, and he's looking at me and smiling. So I'm thinking, okay, this is who I'm waiting on. So I walk up, and he said, "Are you Rhonda?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm Mike." And he said, "This is Logan." Well, his daughter got out the other side of the van, and she comes up and she hugs me and she said, "And I'm your niece. I'm Ashley." And I said, "Okay, where's Debbie?" Well, about that time, Debbie gets out of the truck and she is squalling her eyes out. And she grabs a hold of me and she just hangs on to me. And we both are just wiping snot. Mm. I mean, that's all we can do. So, and it seems like it was 3 days that we stood there just hugging each other and crying. And the guys finally got us to go in the restaurant with them, and we sat down. And I said, "Okay, Debbie, I've waited long enough. I want to know who is our dad." So she said, "Your dad was a country music singer." She pulled out pictures. She pulled out recordings that he had, records and stuff. He sang in the late 50s, early 60s, into the early 70s. And as we sat there, she told me, I already knew his name. His name was Woodrow Ernest Cash. Everybody called him Ernie. His name was Ernie Cash, and that's what he sang by. He had his own band. He had his own bus. He traveled and did a lot of military circuits. He never made it big. He never made a lot of money at it, but he loved what he was doing. I brought home all this information that I had, pictures and everything, and about a year later, Keith and I got back in the truck, and we went to Maryland, where Debbie lives, and she gave me, I now own all of Daddy's music, his original music. I have all of his recordings that he ever has ever done. And, but my uncle played rhythm guitar for him. That's how my mom met him. Back then, it was a life that was pretty rough. There was a lot of country music singers that didn't stay at home like they should. It was nothing for Dad was a good looking man, and it was nothing for him to go home with hotel room keys in his pockets. And so I finally, after getting the whole story, I finally realized, well, this is why my mom didn't want me to know, because she sang gospel music. There's nothing wrong with that. He sang country, but there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, I'm their child, so I have no choice but to love singing. And I do a little country. I do a little gospel when I sing.
We heard a little bit of that earlier.
And but while we were visiting with Debbie, we got to talking about some of our relatives, and I was flipping through my ancestry page, and she was telling me about this one and that one, and we came across John Carter Cash. As most of you know, John Carter is belongs to Johnny and June Cash, and my grandfather Cash and Johnny's dad were brothers.
Oh, man.
So Johnny Cash and I are second cousins.
Wow.
So, and I guess that was another reason she don't want me to know, because I would have been that much more hungry for Nashville. And when I got out of high school, that's where I would have been.
Yeah.
That's where I would have been. And that wasn't God's will for my life. I'm living God's will for my life. And I wouldn't have done that had I known what was going on.
What a story.
That's crazy.
I just can't imagine. You can hear it in your spirit when you're talking about that longing to know information. Mm-hmm. And your mom was just,
she wasn't going to do
staunch.
It.
She I took am it. Not.
I was took standing. It to the grave, literally. I was standing there beside her, holding her hand when she went to be with Jesus, and she would not tell me nothing.
Wow. That's impressive for her to be. But she had obviously reasoned within herself that the best thing for you was for her not to tell that. But thankful that you were able to work this out in another way so that you got some resolve. And your mom got to do what she wanted to do. Yeah. Keep it as she.
I look at it as redemption.
Yeah.
You know, since I found out and since I know I don't have that I guess hatred in me anymore.
Right.
I'm proud of who my dad was. I'm proud of who my mother was. My mother did as much traveling as he did singing. They were on television. He was on television. My dad was the one that designed the Country Music Association in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I have paperwork that proves that.
Now, how was your relationship with your stepdad? Can you talk about that? Was it?
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. Back in the 60s and the 70s, men just didn't take somebody else's child and raise it.
I got you.
And, of course, when they started having children of their own, which I have two wonderful brothers and a beautiful sister, and I have a stepsister that belonged to my stepdad. And, but I love them. They're not step. They're mine. They're my family. Mm-hmm. And we grew up that way. And I asked my brother, my oldest brother, I said, how do you feel about all this now that it's all come out in the open? And he said, just gives me more relatives to love.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Can't change it. So,
yeah. He said, I've just got more sisters to love.
Yep.
But dad had five kids that, and each one of us was by a different woman. So, you know, I'm sure that was part of mom's reasoning as well. Because when I was 6 weeks old, I was born in Manhattan, New York. And when I was 6 weeks old, mom had dad bring she and I home to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she lived with her mom and dad because that's what you did in the mm-hmm. 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, a single woman, you don't have children.
Yeah.
It was unheard of. It's not like it is today.
Yep.
And but that's my story.
Sticking to it.
That's a good one. I love the fullness of it, just full circle. And then at the end, a happy ending and more family is more how family. You looked at it and more love. And
got a little cash blood flowing through.
And you resolved
a
long time question.
Yeah.
Which is a great feeling.
Yeah. And that's, I love that more than I love knowing that I'm in the Cash family. Now I'll aggravate Keith and say I'm country music royalty.
That's right. Big name.
But, you know, I'm excited about not having that feeling in me anymore.
Amen.
It's all gone.
Yep.
I have a clear conscience. I have a clear mind. My heart's clear. And God has just taken care of all of it. And that was, I think this was his way of handing me what my mom wouldn't.
Well, you've been wanting it a long time.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.
I didn't tell you I was 50 when I found out.
50 years old.
Wanted to know when you were 5.
Mm-hmm.
Found out when you were 50.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time coming.
It's a long time.
Now, Miss Rhonda, you got any more stories that you want to tell?
I could tell you some on Pam, but I don't think I will.
In the heater.
You could tell the one lick story if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell this
one. We'll lighten it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll lighten this up just a little bit. Pam and Chris got into some trouble one day.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
Seems to be a theme.
And it was probably Pam's fault again. So, but Keith came in from work and I was telling him about it. He worked for 38 years with Georgia Pacific Paper Corporation and he would work long days, sometimes 16-hour days and 8-hour days. And you never knew, you know, he was on the old Southern Swing. So he may be on midnight one night, second shift or first shift. And it just, his mood depended on what shift he was on. Mm-hmm. So he came in and I told him what Chris and Pam had done and he went to him and he sat down with him and he said, okay, he said, your mama says I need to whip you. He said, but he said, I'm going to let y'all decide how many licks you want. So Chris, I think he started with Chris, and Chris told him, he said, probably four licks, you know.
That'll get the point across.
And of course, Daddy would bring him up off the floor where Mama wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so Keith had a little pity on him, and he said, well, he said, I think three's enough. He said, I think that'll teach you a lesson, and we'll just do three. So Chris got his three licks. He took it like a man, and he went on about his business. Well, little Miss Press over here, being Daddy's little girl.
Mm-hmm. Again, age 5, 6.
So he says, Pam, how many licks do you want? And she said, Daddy, I just take one.
Oh, bless it.
And Daddy said, you don't want to rethink that? And she said, no, I'm fine with just one. So he said, are you sure? He said, I'm going to give you one more chance to rethink it. And she said, no. She said, I'll just take one. So he reared back, and he put her off the floor. He lit her up.
Levitation.
My yes. One was his three.
Cumulatively in one.
Get the combo lick.
Yeah. So she learned. That
one is not good.
That's not the number.
10,000 is my number.
Yeah. I'll take 10,000, Daddy. Oh, bless your heart, little one.
You know, I love you guys, but y'all have messed up my life royally.
Yeah, what did we do?
Yeah, you put my husband on YouTube.
On the national television.
You're going to put me in the movie.
Yeah.
Make him famous, but yeah.
Make a big star out of Keith.
Yeah, his head is going to be so big, it's not going to fit in the house.
Well, we'll let you work on
he's the
that.
Best driver in Quitman, Mississippi. Already we
no,
know
he's
it.
No,
he's not. Hey, boy, spinning it around.
On the side of the road.
He don't drive any better in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, either.
Hey, one night I heard he had you so nervous you was shaking that chewing gum handling it to him. And yeah. Had a nervous breakdown
that
right there.
That wasn't the first time.
That was in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was snow and ice
snow
on the road.
Snow and ice on the road, baby.
But we know how he does in ice.
You wouldn't believe we've been married 46 years.
Well, thank the Lord for that.
I have had some honey there on memories.
Well, I tell you, you have allowed us to have a new memory that we'll always cherish.
Yep.
And that's all because of you. You get the credit and glory for it. We appreciate it.
Well, we loved having y'all. Y'all, like I say, y'all are just new members of our family.
Well, this has been an amazing trip, and on behalf of myself, my family, we appreciate you.
Yeah, both of you. Thank you for what you've done.
And this was a great time, but that's all we're going
to
do.
Hey, this is what I do want to say. If you're ever around Clark County, Mississippi, you got to come on by and see some of the, they got some beautiful parks here. Clark County's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we stayed at the Clarko
State Park.
Beautiful State Park.
Man,
it's nice.
And when this Artusa gets the water back, I believe it'll be pretty too.
Oh, but it's absolutely gorgeous with water. Yep. Yeah. It'll be back in a couple of years.
Yep. So y'all come on down, visit Clark County, and they'll treat you like family. We can attest to that.
Well, the Hayden Alabama Podcast from Quitman, Mississippi. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Rhonda.
And I'm Pam.
We'll see you next time.